Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, both American and United Airlines ready charter flights to help distribute COVID vaccines. And the Hawaii drama continues as Kauai pulls out of the pre-travel testing program. We'll tell you what it means next in the news.
At 3:20, we'll make you a smarter traveler as we answer your questions about destinations, COVID tests, and more from the Travel Guys mailbag.
The Q&A session continues after the news at 3:35. One of your most often questions today involves airplane safety in the COVID era. Is there a safer place to sit on the plane to avoid the virus, or a less safe place? I've asked the experts, and you might be surprised at what they had to say.
Culinary tourism has become a big part of the travel landscape, but now restaurants are closing right and left. Now, what does it mean to travelers? Our guest is Eric Wolf, founder and executive director of the World Food Travel Association. He'll share his thoughts on the future of culinary tourism coming up at 3:45.
Hoping you all stayed safe and full of turkey this Thanksgiving. As the long weekend draws to a close, we stopped by to help you with the leftovers, but not the dishes. Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to Paradise.
To Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Saddle up, my friends. Time for another ride with the travel and entertainment guys. Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, brought to you by Sports Vacations. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Like Mark said, you're maybe still enjoying a little of that leftover turkey. You know, having the name Tom at Thanksgiving always warrants a number of jokes. Did you buy a Tom? Did you get a Tom? Did you eat a Tom turkey?
You know, we had three or four wild turkeys out here by our office out off of Folsom near Bradshaw, and they were quite visible for a couple of weeks up until a few days ago, and I haven't seen any of them for the last several days. So I don't know what that means, but maybe somebody went on. We have a lot of wild turkeys around Sacramento. A lot of people have turkeys that
they do. Then it's kind of a conversation. Just about everybody sees them and so forth. And of course, they have them in the news, and they warn you that mating season. You want to give them their distance. If you, they will come after you.
They are not very bright animals, and they poop a lot. So
well, there you go. There's the observation from the owner of Sports
making
Leisure
you a smarter
Vacations,
traveler.
Making you a smarter traveler, right?
Listen, I've been out around town during the week, and we can't go anywhere except the trip to the grocery store is a big deal. And I've noticed something, Tom. I know you're still not a go inside guy. They bring it out to your car. So
that is correct. Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, for those of us who are inside the grocery store on the front lines, speaking of the front lines, we were back in March and April. People said to all these folks who are working in fast food restaurants and grocery stores and the people who were basically providing the goods and services to the rest of us, that, they were essential workers and we should all treat them with respect and thank them, et cetera. And many of us did that. And so now we fast forward half a dozen months to the fall. And, the infections are like 500 more a day on the average in Sacramento County, which is like 20 times what they were in the spring. But nobody is saying to thank the frontline workers now. And, if you look at them, they look like they've been doing this for a while. And it's starting like it's wearing on all the rest of us. It's wearing on them more because it wears on them 8 hours a day constantly. And so I just, and I've discovered something, because I followed a person in line at Bel Air the other day who kind of made a little of a bit of a stink about wearing a mask in the store and had this little monologue that he wanted to share. And it wasn't really relevant to anything he was doing, but he just felt the need to share it. And I could tell the person behind the counter had heard it before. And when I got there and she rang up my things and stuff like that, I just looked at her at the end and I said, hey. I said, be safe. You all are really important to us. Be careful, okay? And I got just this little bit of a smile in her eyes, and I thought to myself, you know what? I bet you people are not doing that like they were before. And so it's just, it's a small thing, but to these people who are not making a heck of a lot of money and are doing things that are really incumbent to us maintaining a society and a system and everything, a thank you to them now probably goes further than it did before. So why not just do it? You know, I mean, just say thanks and be careful and stuff like that. And maybe they would feel like we were all in it a little bit more together. So anyway, that's just
there you go. Yeah, just a thought, just a one man's thought. But a lot of people share it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the whole point is to get a lot more people to share it. You know, maybe you just forgot about it, or you're having a long day, or like I said, you're tired of this whole, we're all tired of the virus, but the person on the other side of the counter is exposed to it all day long. So through the plexiglass, you know, knock on the glass or wave or do something that's, you know, you'll think of something. I know these are travel guys, listeners here. At Sports Leisure Vacations, we did something fun last week. We've been having happy hours and playing bingo on Zoom and, you know, anything to keep your customers engaged. We did a scavenger hunt.
I didn't get an invite. What's the dealio here?
We had almost 30 people. It was hysterical because what you had to do was go find things. Like, for example, an airplane boarding pass. Mm-hmm. So all these people would be sitting in front of their screens, and then you would say something, right. And then you'd watch them all get up and head off to wherever they were, and one at a time they would come back, and, you know, then someone would come back and say, well, you know, will this be okay? Will this work? And we had, you know, things like something with the name of a national park on it, a destination magnet, you know how some people collect magnets. So we had a whole list of 18 of these things, and over the course of about 30 minutes, and the prizes were some nice boxes of See's candy and stuff like that. So we had a blast. I had no idea how well this was going to work. I stole the idea from another tour operator, and we had as much fun as you can have without getting arrested on a Zoom call.
Very cool. You know, I have to give that a try within the family and the Zoomy thing. Anybody could do that. That is very, very cool. I'm glad all the Sports Leisure Vacation travelers. Are these club members that...
Well, yeah, folks who travel with us. We have a travel club, per se, and most of the folks who travel with us are members of that, because it's the key to getting discounts and, you know, advance notice of things and stuff like that, which in normal times is kind of important because trips tend to fill up kind of quickly. But it was I cannot tell you how much fun it was watching people get up 20 at a time and take off from their computer screen.
I bet. Hey, all right. Do we have any travel news today?
We do, just a tiny bit.
Okay, let's get to it. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, or somewhere in the first 15 minutes, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark, what you
got? How rude. No. Somewhere in the first 15 minutes. Yeah, well, that's true. We're a travel show, and we're, I sense we're, you know, kind of other things, too. You know, we're a mid-afternoon Sunday break. It's a live program. You know, we're just kind of making it up as we go along. I sense that people probably can figure that out. It must embarrass you sometimes, because you're a longtime radio guy, and you have to work with this guy who just goes off, you know, wanders off into the bushes somewhere.
I just shake my head.
Yeah.
I'm shaking it now.
I have.
How about some
news?
How about some travel news?
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Thank you, Luis. Right on target, buddy.
All right. American United are starting charter flights, getting a little more serious here, to deliver vaccines. Apparently, they've been getting ready for this for quite a while, establishing a network of aircraft. They have a few extra airplanes right now. And they've got teams of people who specialize in temperature-critical shipments. They're working with the FAA, and because, of course, some of these vaccines have serious temperature and climate control issues and stuff like that. So it's good to hear that they are getting ready to do that, because the first meeting on the vaccine, I believe, is the 10th of December, and the next one comes up on the 17th, and they're talking about starting to ship them within days afterwards, so we could have health workers and stuff like that getting vaccinated within a few weeks. Amtrak is having a sale. You know how we have Black Friday? Well, Amtrak mm-hmm. has Track Friday.
Okay.
Isn't that cute? And it runs through Monday. If you are traveling up through the end of April, lots of fares are up to half off. Roomettes and things like that have special rates and stuff like that. So if you are an Amtrak traveler, or you anticipate being one between now and the end of April, there are some really good prices available until the end of the day. On Monday, Delta Airlines canceled a bunch of flights just before the weekend started. And Delta's been such a good gauge of good customer service and the like through COVID. It got some of their regular flyers kind of upset because these flights weren't canceled until Tuesday or Wednesday. Here is what Delta says happened. Apparently, they were hit with a rash of last-minute cancellations. It would be safe to say I couldn't reach anybody at Delta, my contact, because we're on a holiday weekend. But the news feeds that I have and the comments that for folks who were able to reach Delta said that because of many of these last-minute cancellations, they were able to consolidate. You know, if Atlanta, Los Angeles is, you know, five flights a day, maybe now they are only running three or four. And so they did some consolidation close, remembering they're not selling the middle seat. So that's a little harder for them to. But they just said that there were because people could get out at the last minute and not be penalized, no cancellation or change fees, many people did. So maybe some people heeded the advice of health officials and at the last minute said, you know what, not so much. So that appears to be, at least with one airline, what might have occurred. So
that's a tough one. Now we're talking about flights being rearranged or just outright canceled.
Outright canceled, but in most cases, Delta says here in over 80% of the situations, they were able to get people on flights the same day. Of course, Thanksgiving is kind of important because you don't want to arrive on Friday for Thanksgiving. That would be kind of a problem.
Right, right. Well, apparently, from what I heard in the news, you probably caught this too, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, highest number of people going through the TSA
yes.
and flying than any time since March.
Yes, so it appears that the numbers maybe could have been even higher if mm-hmm. other airlines, and it would be a logical thought to think that perhaps other airlines had the same situation. Couple of other quick things here in the news. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, says that they raised on last Sunday, it looks like, there to level four, a lot of levels and colors and all of this stuff. But anyway, the CDC says stay off of a cruise ship. We've kind of talked about this on and off here. But the CDC says until further notice, they really recommend that you not include cruise ships in your travel. And as far as how long that's supposed to last, they said we'll get back to you on that. So they're kind of waiting for the cruise lines, as we've talked about here, to figure a few things out. And if you go to travelguysradio.com, you will find a tribute to Alex Trebek. Alex was quite a traveler, went to a lot of interesting places, and we have posted a little thing there. So if you were a Jeopardy fan and an Alex Trebek fan, he was also quite philanthropic in his travels, tended to give money back and support various philanthropic projects around the planet. So a final tribute to Mr. Trebek. And that's your travel news for today.
Wait, you have to tell us the Hawaii drama continues in Kauai. Are we going to see that?
Oh, well, you know what? That's also one of the questions from the mailbag. So I thought, you know, and you're right, it was in the headlines. You can't go to Kauai without a 14-day quarantine. And more on that is coming up next.
All right. We are the Travel Guys Smarter Travelers segment. Hits the airwaves next here on the Travel Guys. Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, building a better Sacramento with Legos. And I don't know what that means. Oh, yeah, I got to turn that off. All right. Welcome back, my friends. We are heading into the Smarter Traveler segment, and Mark has been promising us that we're going to have some answers to questions about destinations, COVID tests, and more right here from the Travel Guys mailbag.
Yep.
And I just happen to have them right here on my laptop to my right. I'm reading off of the screen. I'm not printing. That's how high-tech I am today, kids.
We invite folks to, if you have a travel question, and folks often do, you go to travelguysradio.com. There is a form there on the homepage. You can fill it out. Just throw your name on it there. It comes to us. And if it's a question I can answer for you quickly and get back to you, I will try to do that. And selected ones we answer here on the air, because certain questions get answered more often than other ones do.
There you go. And usually I'm the guy that does the asking of your questions. And Mark, of course, being the true travel professional, will give the answers, even though some of these, after being on the show and hosting with you, I might actually even know. Let's go with Lucille in Davis. Can I still take my dog with me on my Christmas trip? She's going to travel at Christmas, and Fido's going along. Mark, is that still cool?
There are some additional restrictions. It varies by airline. The airlines are not allowing animals. Most of the air carriers are not allowing animals in the cargo hold, so it has to be an animal that can go with you in the cabin. And they are not allowing as many animals in the cabin as they previously were. So I would recommend that you check with your airline, and I would check with them. You're flying at Christmas time. So I, you know, if you're listening right now, I'd get off the radio and get on the phone and call the airline and make sure that there's space available. They haven't raised the rates or anything like that, but they just are taking fewer animals right now. United Airlines told me that there's just a lot going on right now, and so they don't want to be responsible. That makes perfect sense, because every time something happens to an animal in the cargo hold, they get raked over the coals. So they're trying to make sure that doesn't happen. So small dogs and things like that can ride in the cabin. Check as soon as you can.
There you go. My daughter travels with her two dogs. Well, not by herself, because it's one dog per person, quite successfully on Southwest, and they are still doing that. It's almost to the point, though, where the price for the dog is more than it is for the person.
Wait. You said something there. It's one animal per person? Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. If you, let's say you have two small dogs, and they're both in individual carriers, which they should be, you can't, one person can't go on with both, because the animal is to sit in the, where your feet are, that you've already paid for. We've already discussed this.
Right.
So if you have two carriers, you can't put them under your seat.
Under you've one seat. Aha. Uh-huh. Perfect.
Yeah. So if you do plan, and like, for instance, when she has a friend that traveled with her, so they had a dog and she had a dog. So
yeah.
Don't have two dogs if there's only one of you.
Only one of you. Perfect sense.
Yeah, there you go. Allison from Citrus Heights. Are public toilets, like in airports, safe to use during COVID?
I would say that in general, airport toilets are some of the cleanest toilets, public toilets out there. And I would say that based on my experience in Sacramento, the facilities at the Sacramento airport are exceptionally clean. And that's just my opinion. Not that I've ever found them really to be dirty, but they are exceptionally clean right now. The only other airports that I've been in are Ontario, Seattle, and Portland regional airports, and I'm kind of running it through my brain right now. And no, there are, and plus the other thing that you see in airports right now that you didn't see before are hand sanitation, you know, a place to put squirtum on your hands and stuff like that. Once you have passed through security is a time when you really should be looking for hand sanitizer or make a trip to the bathroom to wash your hands or something, because you've passed through all of these surfaces, touched all these surfaces that are touched by multiple people, and there's no possible way to keep them all clean. I mean, it's not humanly possible. So to me, if I walk in the door of the airport and there's a chance, my rule with airports is every single time I see hand sanitizer, unless I just walked away from one, I use it. If I've touched anything since the last time I use it, I just use it. And after a couple days on the road, my hands look like, you know, leather, but still better that than to be sick. I can tell that I'm using hand sanitizer enough if my hands get really badly beaten up.
Yeah, you got a lot of company there. The companies and people that sell good penetrating lotions that you can use from time to time.
Yep.
But you know how it is. You use the hand sanitizer, you use the lotion, and then comes the hand sanitizer again to dissolve the lotion. It can be.
And then you wash your hands, and it all goes away. When it comes to public facilities right now, and especially in places like airports, they are so much in the public view. No one wants to be the airport who is in the headlines tomorrow because they had a bunch of people get sick. So they're really aware of all this right now. And because of the fact that people are so aware of it, particularly in airports and other public places, you are seeing a lot of extra effort to keep people clean and therefore keep them safe.
All right, let's get to one more before we check out the news. We got 2 minutes. And this has been one of the most asked questions in the past 6 to 8 weeks. Rashid in Elk Grove asks, is there a safer place to sit on the airplane? They talk about the air circulation and the filters all being really good. But are there good and bad places to pick a seat, to sit?
You know, years ago there was a survey that said, you know, if the plane crashed, that it was a little bit better to be in the back of the plane because they had done some surveys and, you know, seen when there had been bad accidents and whether that was just random or whatever. I talked to the people who changed the filters on United Airlines, just totally by coincidence. It's another story for another day. But they told me that really there is no better or less good place to sit on an airplane. They said if you are on a plane that has an individual airflow above you and you are concerned, turn that open. Just remember to bring a jacket because it's going to be cold and you're going to have a lot of air blowing down on you. So, but you have the ability to change that airflow and to increase the amount of air that circulates around you with that personal airflow dingy thing ahead overhead.
Window versus aisle.
Aisle seats are generally considered to be slightly safer for a variety of reasons. It doesn't have anything to do with COVID.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, we have more questions that we'll be answering from our mailbag after we check out the news. And, well, so there you go. And don't forget
even
the
Hawaii question.
Okay, yeah. Even the Hawaii question is where things have really changed in regards to Kauai. They've made some of their own rules. So be here and check that out. It's all coming up right here on the Travel Guys and at TravelGuysRadio.com.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We are dipping into the mailbag and finding out what people are interested in getting answers to from the travel experts. And Mark, one of the ones that we hear a lot about, people are still talking, what's going on in Hawaii, and there has been some breaking news, particularly about Kauai. First of all, in regards to Oahu and the other islands, is everything pretty much the same 72 hours in advance? You get the COVID test, you got to upload it to the Hawaii website, and it's got to be done before you show up.
It's just a mess. We spend a lot of time talking about Hawaii here because when we take questions on our website, we get probably 30% of our questions are about Hawaii. And recent months, probably 50% of our questions are about Hawaii because there are so many questions that nobody can answer. Kauai has bailed on the rest of the islands. The mayor each island there has a mayor. The mayor of Kauai has asked and gotten from the governor approval to go back to a 14-day quarantine. If you are going to Kauai starting on December the 2nd, so you've got a couple days, but if you're arriving on December the 2nd or afterwards, you're going into a 14-day quarantine. There is no other option, not currently. That's subject to change in the next, oh, maybe 20 minutes or so. So right now, if you're going to Kauai, there's no way to be able to avoid a quarantine. And this applies also to folks who are coming back to Kauai who used to who live there and have a home on Kauai. So there has not been a particular outbreak of COVID cases on the island on that island, but they are very concerned about their limited. They have like 8 or 9 ICU beds. There's only one hospital on the entire island. So if you are, we have talked about this several times here, Tom, in recent months, and really and truly, if you're thinking about going to Hawaii, wait a couple months, let all of this settle down, let them figure all of this out. And they're islands in the middle of the ocean. Let them figure out how they're going to handle this and what works and what doesn't, and then go see them, like maybe late next spring or something like that. Just pick a different destination for right now. A lot of things are going on there, and from day to day, nobody really knows what's going to happen next. And there hasn't been a lot of governmental leadership, and everybody's kind of off on their own tangent. So just beware, if you get a vacation and you're planning on going to the islands, it's very possible at the last minute that you might have to make some changes, because if you were headed for Kauai now, you'd set up all this advanced testing and everything. It does you absolutely no good whatsoever. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but that's just kind of the deal.
From the TravelGuysRadio.com mailbag, Joe in Auburn writes that he heard us mention some airlines are no longer blocking middle seats, or that is going to happen soon. Of course, on airplanes we're talking. Mm-hmm. They're flying on Southwest in December and have already purchased their tickets. So what's happening?
Well, Southwest has said that they are not going to block middle seats past, what's today, the 29th? Past tomorrow. So in December, they are going to sell the middle seats. They have said they're going to try to keep things spaced out as best they can, but basically they're reneging on their agreement not to sell middle seats. They have, however, said to folks, Joe, I think you said that Joe said he already purchased his tickets. Joe, they will refund your tickets if that is an issue for you, or move you to another flight on another day, or they will work with you on that. But as we've talked about before here, it's not possible for airlines to be profitable filling 2/3 of the seats, unless whoever didn't show up at the airport, etc. Now, Delta Airlines has agreed to extend their blocking of the middle seat all the way through March, which I think is a wonderful thing if they can get away with it. They've obviously run the numbers and decided that there is more to be gained here than to be lost. So Delta is the only one past the first week of the new year. Alaska is blocking seats into the first week of January. Also Hawaiian, Southwest, though, it says they're going to start selling middle seats, and United and American have been doing that all along.
Okay. Mary Lou in Rancho Cordova asks, is it true that hotel restaurants are closed? And how would you know this information in advance? What if you bought a package which included meals at the hotel?
Aha. Well, again, many, speaking of Hawaii, when you travel to Hawaii, in many cases, people have a package that will include their meals, so especially their breakfast. You may have bought a package. The Jamaican resorts are well known for selling all-inclusive packages that includes all your alcohol and all of your food while you're there. So if what we have seen so far is that resorts that have sold all-inclusive packages are willing to work with people and try to back out the food costs. But here's the problem. If the resort has no food service available, and they're a resort, and they're, you know, on a large piece of property, and it's a half a mile to the next resort, which also may not have food service, I mean, do you really want to go someplace where there is where nothing is open? So that's kind of the I think maybe as big of a consideration as anything else is if your resort isn't offering food service, where are you going to eat? And all of these things are changing so frequently right now that that's what's making it really hard for people to travel. And it's also making it hard, Tom, for these places that offer inclusive packages, because from one day to the next, they never know. I mean, heck, the Marriott Hotel doesn't know if they can serve you breakfast next Thursday in the hotel, let alone in it, depending on what state or what county that they're in or whatever. So I think we have to get past this last blast of COVID, what I hope will be the last blast of COVID, get to the vaccines, get to the other side of the mountain, and then start talking about inclusive packages. For right now, they really don't mean much.
And so much of travel is, you know, centered around eating at your favorite restaurant. All right, Farhard and Sacramento, is this a good time to consider snatching up some of those cheap vacation offers that are floating around out there?
There is a, I tend to watch garbage TV in the evening for an hour or two on one of the cable networks. I won't even mention which one, but there is a cheap airline seat seller who buys a lot of time in those blocks, and I see their commercials frequently, and I wrote down their number last night because I want to call them and see what they have to say, because they're like, airlines are practically giving their seats away, which actually is not happening. They're not actually giving their seats away, but nonetheless, that's what they would have you believe, and it's kind of interesting to right now they're enticing, but for exactly the reasons that we've been talking about here. You don't know if you can get to a particular island. You don't know if your hotel is going to be able to offer meal services or not. I mean, there just are so many things that are up in the air right now. Unless you're the most flexible traveler on the planet and you're willing to eat your lunch out of a paper bag on or breakfast out of a paper bag on occasion, it's just not the time to be out there. So that would be my wisdom right now. Be very careful about buying cheap packages. Read the fine print really carefully. Only pay by credit card. Just be really careful. I can't imagine. The answer is, should you be buying cheap travel packages right now? And the answer to that is no. Wait a few more months. Wait until things are a little more back together and people are starting to try to fill rooms and stuff like that, and they know what's going on, and then do that. I know everybody is looking for something fun and different to do and looking to get out. Thomas, you got out a little bit and did something fun and new and different that we had been talking about here on the radio for a while, the rail pikes.
Yeah. I did something that in the Tom world seemed extremely safe, and I have to say it truly where it was. You know, we had Rob on the program with us. He's with the River Fox train, and I took advantage of doing the rail bikes, where they're tandems. It's like right. A bicycle, a sit-down bike. We did about 10 miles altogether through the farmlands and the fields and along the Sacramento River. It was beautiful. It was a lot of fun. Felt extremely safe. You know, it's well planned out. There is a bit of a hike between where you park your car and where you get onto the rail bikes. So plan accordingly. Make sure that you give yourself plenty of time to get out there and sign off on the paperwork that you have to do before you go. But I want to thank the folks at River Fox Train. We had a great time, and I encourage everybody, get out there and do those. It's a great experience.
Mark, so kind of next. fun for all ages, kind of, sort of?
Pretty much. You got to be, I think, over eight. You got to be able to walk.
Okay. And how hard is it to do the bikes? Okay, never mind.
Oh, it's real easy. And it's got electric assist.
Okay,
so if you don't want to pedal, you just push a button down and away you go. I swear to God, it's the greatest thing ever. All right, coming up after the break, we have culinary tourism to talk about with Eric Wolf. You're going to enjoy this. It's next on The Travel Guys. Hey there, everyone. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here to make you a smarter traveler. And we go all over the world to get that done. Mark, tell us who we're talking with today.
Across the pond to London, England. We're talking with Eric Wolf. Eric is the sort of the founder of the food travel trade industry and the founder and executive director of the World Food Travel Association. That's a lot of words, but it basically means that Eric pretty much has his finger on the pulse of culinary tourism. And of course, culinary tourism, along with the whole rest of the travel and tourism world, has been turned majorly upside down, not only in the sense of attractions that feature culinary events and activities, but just eating when you travel, just trying to find an open drive-through after 10 o'clock in the state of California might be an issue at this point in time. But anyway, here to bring us up to date on all of that and what culinary tourism might look like moving forward is Eric Wolf. Welcome, Eric, to the Travel Guys.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Thanks, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Eric, you're a man who spends most of your waking hours somehow connected to culinary tourism. This hasn't been the best 9 months. What does the landscape look like right now?
Well, no, it hasn't been the best 9 months for our industry or the world in general. But you know what? There is light at the end of the tunnel. There's already three vaccines that are showing excellent effectiveness. And there's lots of fast tracking out there, making sure that this vaccine can get into the supply chains. And they're talking about requiring people with certain tests to show that you're negative against COVID or that you've had the vaccine before you can travel. So I do think that 2021 is going to be kind of a difficult year for our industry. But I think heading into 2022, when more and more people will have had the vaccine, more and more businesses will start to recover and recuperate and introducing products and itineraries for 2022. I think you'll be a little bit of a light uptick in 2021 towards the second half, but I think 2022 is when we're going to really start making huge headway into reclaiming some of the losses that we've experienced over the past 9 months.
Eric, what about destinations like New Orleans comes to mind? New Orleans is a destination that where food plays a prominent role in people when people go to visit New Orleans. And the French Quarter and the areas around the quarter have these amazing restaurants with all kinds of specialties and everything from simple things to elaborate 3 and 4 course meals. You have places like Brennan's that's famous for Bananas Foster and all that stuff. What percentage of those places are surviving when we go back to New Orleans? Key West is another place I think of that has some really great restaurants that we frequent on occasion. We're going to lose some of those people, certainly.
Indeed, the restaurant sector has been one of the hardest hit across the world. It doesn't matter if you're talking in the States or in Europe or in Asia. Some of the numbers that we're hearing are as high as 40% of restaurants are closing. But while that sounds dramatic and sad, what we're seeing is that some of the stronger ones are holding on, and some of the ones that were going to close anyway have closed. So the people, maybe they were going to retire or they were just kind of winding things down. So it's not necessarily the end of the world. And because the restaurant inventory is going to be much lower than it was, it means that there's going to be opportunity for new businesses to open when things start to normalize again. And I think that the lesson as well for tourism offices and also for travelers is that what we have seen is that a lot of the really popular over tourist destinations, people are wary to start going back and booking trips to those really popular places like New Orleans, like San Francisco, like Barcelona. These are places that are teeming with tourists. And what people are favoring now instead is visits to rural destinations or even suburban destinations where there's more open air, there's fewer people, there's fewer bodies. I do think that the idea of health and safety is not going to go away anytime soon. And until the vaccine is in everyone's hands, people are still going to be sporting face masks. We're going to have to take our alcohol gel with us to all kinds of restaurants and you know,
sounds like you're saying what's happening is a little bit of a, what you would consider thinning of the crop. You got, peach tree with too many peaches. If you want them to have size and you want them to do well, you got to thin it out. This looks like sort of almost natural selection, as is some restaurants will go away. And when things come back, they could come back stronger and better. Do you find that in regards to world food travel, that people will seek out, parts of the world and a country where outdoor dining is the norm?
Well, it is absolutely a bit of a thinning of the crowd, whether we're talking about tour operators or tourist guides or any kind of activities. There are some people that just thought they could make a quick buck and go into these businesses. Oh, I can do tours. You know, I know our city's food, right? I'll do a food tour. Well, no, it's not that simple. What you're going to see is that people, the buyer is going to be in the driver's shoes when things start to normalize, and they're going to be able to basically say where they want to go, and they're going to demand the highest quality for the best possible price. So you're going to have to think about that. And as consumers, we're going to have to think about, you know, our safety, where we want to go to, the cost of travel. Do we want to risk traveling outside of our national borders when there could be another epidemic or outbreak before the vaccine is, you know, introduced in our area? So there's a lot of questions to think about.
Eric, do you have any resources that you can suggest for people who are interested in exploring culinary tourism, either in our own country or on different parts of the planet?
Well, that's a very personal question. It really depends on how much of a food lover the people are. A lot of people are quite happy to just go to TripAdvisor and see what TripAdvisor has to offer. There's websites like Chowhound as well. I think that websites like Zagat, the rating service, have kind of fallen by the wayside. And then, of course, there's the Michelin star restaurants at the top end of things. But I think that the high-end experiences, the Michelin and gourmet type things, are really going to have a hard time coming back, because what you'll see is that people haven't been working. They are out of money, and they're going to have to recoup their losses before they're able to spend money on travel and on luxury experiences again. So I do think I see those high-end experiences, and including hotels as well, resorts, any of that high-end market share stuff, I think that's really going to have a hard time coming back quickly.
We're talking with Eric Wolf. Eric is a man about culinary tourism all around the planet. We're talking to him today from London, England. And Eric, you were just a part of the National Tour Association's virtual convention, tour operators meeting with suppliers, people like yourself, virtually, much smaller group than usual. Did you have any takeaways from that? Anything that you felt that revealed to you, or any directions, or was there anything out of that you could share with us that you thought was pertinent to your industry?
Sure. Well, I'm always looking at things through the eyes of food tourism or culinary tourism. So what we're seeing is a move towards smaller groups, to private groups as well. People traveling, you may have heard the term with their own bubble. And so people traveling with people they know, or just their immediate family. So that's one thing. Special diets and food allergies are only increasing, and people travel we take our behaviors with us on the road. So we're not going to stop being vegan or gluten-free just because we're on vacation. Those were a couple of the biggest trends that I saw coming out of things. And of course, the interest in more rural destinations as well, going into the recovery from this pandemic.
So already tour operators are getting, obviously, from their customers, that this is the type of product. And I sense that too. People are also wanting to stay close to home. But culinary has become such a huge part of what we do as tour operators. I mean, 30 years ago, you in some cases wouldn't hesitate to stop at Denny's and feed a group of people. You would never do that now, unless you're in the middle of nowhere and Denny's was your only choice for a quality meal. There's not that there's anything wrong with Denny's, but when people pay to travel with my company, they're hoping, I think, that I will find the one place in that little town that serves the really special meal, or that serves something memorable, or has the special decor, or serves as the historical point of the little village or something like that. So in many cases, these culinary spots are also representative of more than just culinary tourism.
Yes, it absolutely has. And what you just described is really the culinary culture or culinary heritage of a destination. And that's what people are really wanting right now. And in a time when there is no tourism, this is exactly what local communities and tourism offices can and should be focusing on, is enhancing their culinary cultures. And in fact, we just are in the process of launching a new program right now called Culinary Capitals. And we're doing it as a regenerative tourism tool to help destinations recover after the pandemic, because we are really focusing on those culinary cultures and bringing those to light. And you were using the example about Denny's. Yeah, people aren't going to eat. They're not going to want to eat in places they can get at home. I used the example when I was working for a tech company in San Francisco. They flew me around the other side of the world to Singapore to manage a project, landed, got to my hotel, and there's a Singapore Starbucks out front. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to go to the Starbucks. But then, you know, there are other Americans and British people in the hotel as well, and they couldn't wait to get to the Starbucks. And I thought, you know, why? You're in Singapore, right? Go have the kind of coffee with the bread on top. They put on top like the Dutch put the stroopwafel. But in Singapore, they do toast with coconut jam, and they put that on top of the coffee, and it melts a little bit, gets hot. And that's what you have when you're in Singapore, not Starbucks.
Eric, thank you so much for your time today and for your thoughts. And when things start to come around a little bit here, we're going to have you back and have you help make our listeners a smarter traveler by giving them some tips on what's safe and what's not when we start to see the rebound here.
I'll be happy to do that, Mark. You stay safe and eat well, travel better.
You got it. You got it. Thank you. Eric Wolf from the World Food Travel Association, and we'll have a link to Eric's association online and also to a couple of the other websites that he mentioned in our interview.
Well, and folks, a special shout out, Thomas, to the ladies at the See's Candy Shop in Rancho Cordova. They are like my favorites. They have the cleanest store in the whole town, and they're the nicest ladies. So go by and say hello to them for me. Dance like nobody's watching. See you next week, Thomas.
All right, my friends, we'll see you next time here on The Travel Guys. Stay well.